Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Reed.
I'm Annie.
And I'm Maddie.
That's right, you guys. Your ears are not fooling you. We have not just Annie, not just Maddie. We have Annie and Maddie both on the mic today. Mo is working his little ass off New York Fashion Week. Go, Mo. Go make that money. And it's girly takeover. This is the first time on the main podcast that we've had both of you at once. I'm so happy. Hi.
Hi. I know. I'm so happy. It's like a girly little day. It's going to be so fun.
I'm so excited.
We were just talking before we hit record. Me and Mo, just between the two of us, I feel like Maddie and Annie can rarely get a word in when they're here as friend ofs. And I want the listeners at home to know that I'm not a douchey misogynist. I don't mean to.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
All right. Yeah. I literally just said to Maddie and Annie that, like, I kind of love that I'm outnumbered today. I hope that you guys get way more words in.
But you go on your little tangent. So that's why.
I know, guys. I listened back to the episodes and I'm like, damn, this is a long ass thought that I've got. So I am trying to be more measured in my things. But with that said, it's been
I have to say something. You guys, he's lying. Right before we went on, he was like, can you guys keep what you say to a minimum so that I can be the star of the show?
Finally, Mo's out of here and it's my
my show.
So we have had Maddie and Annie on together on the Patreon. For those of you who subscribe to our Patreon and support our podcast, we really appreciate it. We've got new content out there right now. But several weeks back, Maddie and Annie hopped on together without any boys and talked about Below Deck Sailing Yacht. So they have been together before, but this is the very first time on the main podcast. I'm so excited. And without further ado, we have so much to get into. We're skipping my opinion this week because we're going straight into The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
How did we all fall for it? I don't know who to trust anymore.
It is not an enemy that taunts me. Instead, it is you.
My equal, my companion, and close friend.
Put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend.
Barred the doors of your mouth from her.
Your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour.
He who breathes out lies will not escape.
You're not going to be able to talk your way out of this. You're a f***ing liar right now. You're done.
You are nobody's friend.
Everything about
Stop!
You is fake.
That's the goddamn truth.
Get her away from me.
Jen had fired her assistant, and I stepped in to help her. And one night, Jen asked me, do you want to be rich? Do you want to make $600,000 a year? All you have to do is put this, this, and this in your name. I remember being so weirded out, like, wait, what? It was very bizarre. And I have a friend in the Secret Service. And I called him, and he said, get the f*** away from Jen Shaw. She's going to prison.
We're looking for Jen Shaw.
And she was arrested 2 months later. And that is how I became a witness with the federal government in her trial.
The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City are fucking back. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I'm a huge hater. And
same.
I felt like seasons 2 and 3 were just kind of dragging a bit. Zach and Mo like hate me for that opinion. And I said it, Maddie said it, that trailer, it looked like they were going to bring it. And I can honestly say after the premiere episode this week, guys, 10 out of 10, I have no notes.
It was so good. And the new people that they've added as full-time, Monica and Angie, are definitely going to bring it. I was like hesitant to having Mary back just because, you know, she's kind of racist. And I'm like, are we allowing a racist to be back on her screen, on our screen? But when she was back, it was reminded like, okay, she's a comic relief. Like, we kind of needed her as a friend of, but overall, like, casting 10 out of 10, premiere 10 out of 10.
And if we can let Ramona Singer still be on Bravo, I think we can let Mary Cosby come back.
Well, I mean, I have such a complicated, you know, feeling about all of that, because it's like, you know, this this whole show, The Real Housewives in general, all of these Bravo shows are kind of based around people that are like horrible people. I mean, you know, yes. Without that, like, and so it's kind of like, in where do we say yes and say no? You know what I mean?
Where do we draw the line? Obviously, like, we had a criminal.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we don't want any, but I mean, at the same time, like, we do. And I feel like people that are like watching what they say and like saying the right thing, like, that's just never going to be like good TV. So it's such a fine line that you kind of go back and forth about. But I do agree with you. I think she's obviously just much better suited for a friend of role, just because it's just a lot. It's too much, I think.
Yeah. Almost like Vicky on OC. A lot of people are saying like Vicky is kind of doing better in a friend of role, at least at this point in her like trajectory as a person. I think Mary is very similar. Like, Mary's storyline was, well, I guess I can't say it was never interesting. There was obviously the cult church stuff and the grandpa that she married and whatever. But when we would watch her home scenes, first of all, Mary talks like this loud. Like, she just never projects her voice, can hardly ever hear what the bitch is saying. And yeah. I just found her solo scenes to not be that interesting. I think where she really thrives is when she's pouting on, like, we're going to see her not go into the gay bar eventually, right? Like, she's sitting on the screen. It's that kind of Mary that we need. Like, the one that's like, why are you here? And I have to say, Mary had a little lamb. Mary had a little glow up. I don't know if it was filler. I don't know if, I always thought her fashion was horrible. Some people were like, it's couture.
No. It was always horrible. It really made me so angry when she came on the scene, her first episode, and she was like, I'm the fashion housewife. I just love fashion. Everything, look at my closet. And it was like, these are the worst looks I've ever seen. How dare you even be able to say that?
Like, she reminds me of people in like Asia that like just wear designer, that like, and like, if you go to Tokyo or like, they're dressed to the nines in designer, but nothing matches and nothing goes together. Mm-hmm. That's like Mary.
I was literally going to say, it's giving like 5-year-old who dresses themselves for school. And then their mom is like, you can't go to school in that. And they're like, no, I want to go to school in that. That is literally what Mary Cosby looked like in seasons 1 and 2, I thought. This time around, though, I thought she actually, her confessional look, I thought was a really pretty dress. All the things that she wore in her scenes, I thought was like good. And like, I don't know if she like got a better skin routine or if she like got some filler in her cheeks, but she just looks like
better,
healthier, and she's literally glowing.
I'm like, maybe it's the fact that she hasn't been around her husband for 6 months because he's been out of town and she's been loving it. That's what she said. It's been great.
How did she even notice, though? Because she also said that she needs to ask her son. Apparently his girlfriend is his wife.
I'm like, how do you not know that?
He said, but you live together.
And she's like, I haven't had a chance to ask him. And they're like, you live together. And she's like, yeah, I haven't had a chance to ask him. I'm like, my mom would have literally texted me the minute she heard that information and been like, you're married. The fact that Mary has not done that.
She would have gone over to your room and knocked on your bedroom door, bitch.
Me by the ear. And also, if I'm married and I'm living with my mom, that's a problem.
Yeah. Did the wife move in? Did you not notice that part?
Listen, there's a lot to unpack with Mary Cosby. There always is. That opening scene with her like walking into the store or to the restaurant, I think it was. It was just like the perfect return. The producers, the editors, the sound effects, they deserve, once again, I'm going to say it, deserve an Emmy. Like the little girl and
her little tropes like were like said,
smell like hospital, like, and it was just like, she's only been gone for one season, but it does kind of feel like it was sort of smart for them to reintroduce us or to remind us of her a little bit with those sound effects, those sound bites.
Well, I think that, she was only gone for one season, but when she left, she didn't even show up to the reunion that last season she was on. So it seemed really crazy to think that she would ever come back. So I feel like that the return is dramatic for that reason, you know?
Don't they have a rule? If you don't come to the reunion, you're done. Is that just full
time? You're not allowed on the next season, I believe. So,
So her, like her timeout is over.
Yeah. Except now I'm trying to think if there's ever been a housewife that skipped a reunion other than Jackie on, Jacqueline on Real Housewives of New Jersey, but skipped a reunion, didn't do that season, then came back. Like, who have all skipped reunions?
No, I mean, it's a weird thing. Adrian for Malouf. Sure. I don't think it has ever happened because normally if you skip the reunion, you're pretty much like sending a pretty huge message that you are done with this show and you don't care what the consequences are. And she really hated these women. So like, that's the other thing. It's like, it just, she did not enjoy her last season that she was on. She was not very present, like physically or mentally. And she hated spending time with them and she didn't show up to the reunion. So I just think it was unexpected to see her come back.
Someone commented on our post. We posted the soundbite, the clip of Lisa Barlow reading her letter. She's like, I didn't leave on bad terms with Mary, but here's where our last text was. And it's like the most eviscerating series of text messages. And for her to be like, we didn't really leave on bad terms. It was cracking
me up. Your tequila is going to kill people. Your nasty tequila.
You're the worst person in Utah. I don't know. But
you're like someone, a black
widow. You reminded me of a witch.
Yeah. Someone commented on our post and they were like, she seems more lucid this season. Like her meds are like leveled out. Like, and I thought about it, like, you know, a lot of times when housewives are acting loosey goosey, you know, Camille Grammer at the whatever season reunion, it's probably because like they maybe took a little bit of too much prescription medication or something like that. And so I never really thought about it like that, but maybe Mary was just not lucid those first two seasons.
Yeah. Either way, I'm excited to have her back as a friend of. I cannot go any longer, though, not talking about Monica. I'm not going to be like everyone on Twitter calling her mother already because done that before with women. Danielle Cabral last season of Jersey. Like,
I thought about that.
I'm not going to put my foot in my mouth and say she's serving because we don't know yet. But her connection with Jen Shaw literally like blew my mind. Mind you,
Bag
I don't know.
City.
I don't know if there's any clips of that before because I didn't watch any clips. I wanted to watch the episode in full, but knowing that she not only worked for Jen, but she was like an informant and like on her like case, like this is just, it's crazy. And like the Bravo producers know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Like this is literally like casting Melissa behind Teresa's back 2.0. It feels like, you know, the biggest question hanging over everyone's head was, can Salt Lake survive without Jen Shaw? And I think the answer is yes, but I think it was very smart of them to still anchor a piece of this cast to Jen Shaw through the addition of Monica as someone who was a witness in her trial, was her assistant, AKA whatever. I will say Monica Garcia, I'll call her mother and I'll call her sister. I'll call her aunt. I'll call her babysitter.
Daughter.
And, you know, Lisa Barr Legend is going toe-to-toe this season with Mon Icon Garcia, as I named her on my Twitter yesterday.
I do think that it's worrisome, though, like how large Jen's presence is without her here. I mean, it gives me pause just because I'm like, the fact that they feel the need to, you know, have her presence so much there and we're not able to kind of rely on just who's on our screens, you know, it could get a little weird, but yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it so far. I think that I'm really hesitant to judge Monica too much because I feel like anytime a brand new housewife comes on, and they're doing, you know, quite a lot, it's like one of two things could happen. Either they're pulling out all the stops now and there's going to be a decline, or they become iconic. I mean, but I just don't think you can even label someone iconic until they've been around for like more than a season even, you know?
I mean, I think that, there's kind of a tale of two housewives. Think about like Portia and Kenya came swinging out the gate. So Monica could be one of those. Time will tell. But then you also think about, to your point, Maddie, I was gagging over Danielle Cabral after that first episode of Jersey earlier this year. That first episode, she kind of pulled out all the stops. They had all of her funny confessional moments in that first episode. I thought she was going to be the new star of Jersey, and then she kind of fizzled out. I still think there's a chance for her to kind of redeem herself. But yeah, Danielle Cabral gives me Monica tease. I also think Courtney, friend of on Atlanta. First episode of Atlanta, I was all over Twitter telling everybody, this season's going to be so good.
You were.
That first episode was really promising, especially with Candy and Courtney fighting right away. I thought Courtney was going to be someone who might get might go from friend of to full time with that first episode's performance. Now I would say hell no. I don't think we're ever going to see that bitch ever again.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy how much the first episode can like change your opinions on them. I was even thinking like Lisa Barlow, like she's the queen of Salt Lake. I mean, she's the queen of Sundance. We saw that within the first like 10 minutes of the episode. But when I think back on her first season, like I wasn't gagging over her.
No, you know, it was just the, can I touch?
I will say I always was. The moment they showed her going from fast food drive-thru to fast food drive-thru for her kids. And she goes, I'm not a regular mom. I don't cook. I don't clean. I don't feed my kids. I like literally whatever the way she said it, it just sounded so like hilarious to me. And I immediately loved her. I think my problem is I allow my opinions to be swayed by public opinion. And everybody on Twitter was hating on her on that first season. And it made me think maybe I don't like her as much either. But I need to just stand in my truth. I need to really just own my opinions because I was right. Now everyone's calling her Lisa Barr Legend. I was absolutely right about her from the get-go. And I should have trusted my gut instead of trying to... Like, I think Marlo's amazing. And I have a lot of friends who hate Marlo. And so they've kind of gotten me in the past to be like, yeah, Marlo sucks. And finally, one day I was like, I like Marlo. She's funny. Like, I'm allowed to have a different opinion, and I think she's hilarious. So, ultimately, I really hope Monica goes like the Brandy Glanville route and just really the Kenya Portia route, shakes the fucking table. Time will tell. She looks just like Jennifer Aiden, by the way. I think one of you guys said that.
Oh, it wasn't me, but I do think I now see it now that you've said that. Can we get into the ketamine of it all, the special K of it all? So it starts off the season. Obviously, Meredith and Whitney are in an argument and we don't know what it's about. And then it turns out it's about the fact that Whitney went in the press and kind of dogged on Meredith taking a bath with her husband, which like, don't we all dog on her taking a bath with her husband? We did that with Tamara too. We're like, get out of the bath. Like, we don't want to see that. It was funny when she was recounting the story, Meredith was telling Heather the story of like her opinion on it. Heather thought she was kidding. She was like, oh my God, like this is so funny. Like she thought she was laughing at it. And she was really like, don't make fun of my bathtub. Like what was some of the stuff she was saying about her bathtub? It was just,
she said, my marriage, my bathtub, next step is my children.
Yeah, this was like, you know, Mother Marks, I think, deserves a spot on this cast. Like, she is a staple. I was obsessed with her early on in season one. And over time, I have gotten really tired of Meredith's, the things she chooses to be upset about. It sometimes feels to me like Meredith is trying to find something to fight about to be able to have that
have a storyline.
This was one of those examples, a petty slight. And listen, we love Housewives of Petty Slights, but really, she came after my marriage. She came after my bathtub.
Don't come after my bathtub, she literally said. But then we get to the scene where she confronts Whitney and they were talking about like ketamine, like be mad about her saying that you were on ketamine. Be mad that she says you did Special K. Like, don't be mad about the bathtub. Like, you're getting mad about the wrong thing.
Literally.
Yeah. That was actually really weird how like
they just skipped right over it.
And then Meredith was like, oh yeah, now I remember the real reason I'm upset with you. It was like, wait, were you internalizing that this whole time? I'm just so confused by it. I feel like, yeah, there's something about Meredith Marks, like she's so hard to relate to because I can never tell if she's trying to put it on for the cameras and so she was trying to find something to be upset about or if she really feels that way. Because sometimes I think she really feels that way. I think that bathtub might have like really upset her, which is very strange. I mean, I think that it's just hard for me to like really worship a housewife when they're just so unrelatable. I just don't understand. She's like a Bratz doll or something. She's not real.
Yeah, she's definitely in the non-relatable category, but non-relatable, not in a way that I like. Like sometimes like a Kyle Richards is non-relatable because she's so rich and has a beautiful family and like she's so many steps above, but like this type of non-relatable, I'm like, I don't understand you. And why are you always wearing a blazer?
I know. And then I really hope the feather days are behind us, because I thought that was god awful. I'm not the fashion expert on this panel, but I hope Annie will validate me there. I just thought the feathers were terrible.
That was awful. That was awful. And then, like, I mean, the fur coat that she was wearing was cool, but I feel it is, you know, you got to know what you're dressing for. Sitting in a chair underneath the spotlight for 10 hours on end, fur coat, weird choice.
You know, I thought it looked really elegant, and I thought her like leather, I don't know if it's red or maroon or what you call it, that like other look they show. So we have,
you liked that? You liked that? You were into that?
And I'm not a fashion person, so call me out. Well, but I know, thought it, obviously. I thought it looked really good. I thought it looked really sharp.
What if Mo said something to like Elvis about it? What is the brand of it?
Well, I'm talking about Meredith Marks. I'm not talking about MGK.
No, you're talking about the red jacket.
Yeah,
yes,
Mo,
I know exactly
Mo,
what you're
Mo
talking
was
about.
Ripping MGK's red thing to shreds on the Instagram.
Yeah.
That leather jacket, I made a note of it that I hated it so much.
You didn't
much.
Like it? Okay, so I thought Mo.
Rick Owens. It's a Rick Owens jacket. Mo said Meredith's Rick Owens jacket was a choice.
See,
but you and Elvis loved it.
I thought it looked good. And that's the thing, like fashion people, like stylists that work in fashion, I think that we just have different, we're looking at different things. Like I'm the layman.
Some of us have taste and some of us
I'm
don't.
I'm the layman. I'm the man on the street. I glance over and I'm like, oh, she looks really pretty in that. I don't know what brands are. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
I will say.
Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, like, we were talking about how the ladies are bringing it this season. We got like 12 different confessional looks in the first episode alone. And I think most of them were solid. I thought Monica's both looked amazing. I liked Lisa Barlow's little thing. It wasn't anything special. Heather Gay is kind of surprising.
I was going to say, we had to talk about Heather Gay, because as someone who I don't really like, she really like revamped this beginning of the season. Like, she brought a brand new house, which is huge and looks great. She had a second location of Beauty Lab and Laser. And she looks good in her confessionals, which I've never thought she looked good before. Like, even on Ultimate Girls Trip, her confessionals were trash. So I'm not loving the fits. Like, she has that Gucci look. I don't love it, but herself looks good. Like, the hair's done. The makeup's done. She's given it.
Yeah, Heather to me has always had this kind of vibe of like, I don't know, like I couldn't afford designer before and now I can. So like she goes for like the logos, then
yeah.
She has no sense of style. It's just like whatever.
It's a name brand, logo, so I'm going to wear it.
Yeah, it could be that day. And then with Meredith, it was like, I mean, when I looked at that jacket, that Barry jacket that I hated, I knew that it must have been, I knew that it, I didn't know that it was Rick Owens, I should have, but I knew that it was a cool designer because I was like, that's the only reason she would have picked that, because there's no other reason. Like, it's not on brand for her. It doesn't look good in that small frame. It doesn't make any sense. Again, I found it weird that she was wearing a jacket in both of her confessionals. Like, I know she loves the blazers, but she's like taking it a step further where she's like wearing like a full outerwear to sit down inside for a long time. Like, it just is like, it is a weird choice. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's like going to lunch in a ball gown. Like, it doesn't matter how fabulous it is. It's like not the time to wear it, you know?
But like, I think the opposite type of attire is also true. Like in this week's OC episode, Gina is wearing something that looks like a stripper would wear it.
That the outfit that Gina wore was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Like the pink or whatever with like the
lace. It looked like it was from Nasty Gal.
It looked like a corset. And I'm like, what are you wearing? And then like Candace on Potomac wearing that thing with the hood. I'm like, what the fuck is this? You're like, look like you're in a music video.
But you know what I will say about Gina? Like, one thing that I respect is that she has her own style.
It's her own personal style. Yeah.
But it's her own style. And as someone that works in fashion, I'm getting so sick of us like thinking that all of these women, just because they're on TV, like are fashionistas, because they're not. And I don't want them to be. I like to drag their looks. Like, just because you're on TV doesn't mean that you are good at fashion. And even if you do serve looks, they're probably working with a stylist. So like, I just don't expect it from them. And I don't think that they need to be good, but I mean, I like to drag it. I think that I love how in the OC, they're always going to wear a skinny low rise jean with a Gucci belt, no matter what.
They really will. I'm dead.
So we haven't really. So Heather Gay's kind of bringing it. We're a little bit surprised by that. You, Maddie, did you have something there?
I was going to say, what do we think the phone call in the beginning is about that she's on the phone with? Because originally, like hearing it, I'm like, okay, that's Jen talking about Jen Shah. But it's in May. Jen was sentenced back in February. Like Jen's been in jail since February.
I feel like it's Whitney.
You do.
No, I think a lot of it's about Jen, though. I think like a lot of things that they were alluding to in that first kind of scene.
She like slams the producers out and she's like, yeah. I can't believe it.
Like she's just finding out things that Jen did before. Like I think that's
probably what it is. That one makes me excited.
She says at one point, like, we were tormented for years. Like, you know, like, and I think that's all about Jen. Like, I just feel like there's going to be a lot of Jen presence this season, but that's just a guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I also think that Heather Gay is just really dramatic. Like, I think that they could have told her that the McFlurry machine at McDonald's was broken. She would have been like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
so she has this. So she has this reaction every, you know, Wednesday and Thursday night.
I feel like Heather Gay is the kind of person who, especially when the cameras are rolling, is like, I am just hurt and betrayed. And what she feels hurt and betrayed about is Whitney saying that she's on a healing journey or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like that big of a deal.
I find that more with Meredith, though. That sounds more like Meredith.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that is
my
bathtub.
Sure, yeah. Twink. let's talk about that. So I love Angie K being full-time. I was a big Angie K fan last season. Mo and Zach were more like, no, Angie H. Well, Angie H isn't here. Angie K is. And do also question for you guys. Are we allowed to stop calling her Angie K now that she's the only Angie?
Now that there's only one Angie. I started in the beginning and only said Angie, but.
Well, do you think that the blonde haired Angie's going to come back though? Because she always wears her ugly head.
She does. And she did. I'm watching Below Deck Adventure and she was on the yacht with Heather Gay and not a word. I don't even think they had a mic pack on her.
It said Angela. Didn't it say Angela? Heather's friend.
Yeah,
Angela.
And it was like Heather's friend Angela. And I'm like, that's Angie H. Like, come on. which that's also, let's talk about how Bravo always needs to attribute a friend in the super graphic to like someone on the cast. But it's like, it was like Mary and it said Meredith's friend. And it's like, we know who Mary is.
Like, yeah, like we don't need Meredith's friend on
why
here.
Why doesn't it say former housewife? Or like, they don't want to call attention to that kind of stuff, but it's like.
They used to do that with Marlo too. Like anytime she was like a friend of.
And it's like, we know Marlo. Like,
yeah, and they would like change whose friend she was sometimes.
Yes.
Just based off the fights. It should have just said wannabe housewife. Like, I think Angie K is going to add a nice element to this. This is it's interesting. I feel like a lot of times we see like a lot of blonde haired women in our housewives. And this show, it's like lots of like darker hair colors going on. I think Whitney and Heather are only.
Reed, you really came on here to drag us like this? I thought you were going to be cool.
Well, Maddie's looking a little darker right now.
Okay, well, maybe I just lost my job and I can't afford to get my hair done.
Thanks for bringing it up, Reed.
Let's talk about it.
I didn't know we were going to talk about that on the mic. Guys, send Maddie any job opportunities that you may have.
Please. My DMs are open.
Maddie and I both came on here with some grown out roots and Reed just thought that he could treat us like brunettes.
I don't know. I consider myself a brunette. But
no, girl.
This hair in this Zoom photo right now looks dark to me, but people tell me that I'm a dirty blonde and I just,
you are a dirty blonde.
I don't see how this hair on my head looks so different from the hair on y'all's head.
Okay. Sure. There's different shades.
I know. I'm not,
maybe they're just referring more to your personality being dirty.
Yeah, that's true too. you know, what's funny is that we don't have Mo here to make weird sexual innuendos. So Annie stepped up to the plate.
Oh yeah, we had a game plan talk beforehand.
Yeah, she's even vaping right now, which is exactly what Mo would be doing.
She's so Mo coded.
Ooh, you know, I'm like Carol from Roni. Like I'm doing a role, so I took.
Yeah, she was like, Amelia Chain smokes.
Yeah, you're playing Mo in a biopic.
Yeah.
so yeah, I really like Angie K on the cast full time. I think she's gonna have like a fraud storyline or something. So more of that, I guess. I'm curious to know where that's gonna go. I don't feel like we've seen much.
I don't feel like we've seen enough fraud.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like if it was really happening, it wouldn't be contained to the show. Like, we'd be seeing headlines in the press, and I don't think we've seen anything like that. So,
maybe it's because she's not, like, big enough in the press, so they're not, like, writing up stories. But at the same time, they started off with, like, her talking about a new $7,000 bag that she bought, like, in that scene. So maybe that was, like, an
inclination.
I think both of those work. Inclination.
But her $7,000 bag that looks like it belongs on a Clueless set.
Oh, yeah. She said she was going to pass that down to her daughter. I'm like, getting a fur bag, it's not going to hold up for that long.
So I think Angie K probably is doing something a little shady. I guess we'll find out, you know, with more time. Speaking of Angie K in the press, though, let's take it back to Mother Monica Garcia, because Monica went on Twitter and Instagram yesterday and aired these bitches out. This is the kind of housewives that I live for, you know. And this first episode of Salt Lake, it cuts to Lisa Barlow, who, Lisa, if you're listening, you're bar legend. I love you, but I also love Monica and I love this fight you are having. Lisa said something on the lines of, the last time she saw Monica, she was a different shade of skin color. She was fairer skin, meaning she wasn't as tan, and she was blonde, not brunette. Monica Garcia is Latina, and she pulled out the receipts and showed photos of them from years back together where she's still the same skin tone, still a brunette, not a blonde. And she goes, speaking of people I wouldn't be able to pick out of a lineup, swipe right to see Angie K from several years ago. And it's Angie K with like a speak to the manager.
No,
it is like, that is not the same Angie K.
No. And she's got like a double chin. Like, she does not look the same.
It's so funny because Angie K is kind of catching strays in this fight. Like, she didn't do anything in that moment. Maybe later on in the season she does, but in that scene, she did not say anything shady about Monica. It was only Lisa, but Monica is airing them both out on Instagram. And I just think it's fucking hilarious. The only thing I will say is, She did try to say that she thinks Lisa's being a little racist when she used the police lineup thing. And I think that's unfair, Monica. All she was saying was, if you were in witness protection, she was basically saying she didn't recognize you. I don't think it had anything to do with like you being arrested by police because you're a person of color. And but again, housewives fights, they're going to grab any low-hanging fruit and they're going to use it. And we love that, right? So, all right.
Yeah. And then she said, she was like, have you never seen like a blonde Latino? And then like did a picture of Shakira.
I know. She included Shakira in her Instagram post, which is so fucking funny.
And it was good.
Yeah. And it reminded me of Indy from Big Brother last season, who
looked
like a white girl with blonde hair. And she's from Big Brother. So I think that there's a lot of nuance there too. So, other thoughts on Salt Lake, guys? This is an amazing episode.
I'm really excited for the season. Like you said in the beginning, Reed, I'm kind of a Salt Lake hater. I really love season one. And when I get people into Housewives, they say to start with Salt Lake because it is like the least amount of seasons and easy to catch up and it grabs you right away. But the last two seasons, I felt like just dragged on and there was one main storyline and that's it. So now I'm excited that we're getting already in the first episode, we're getting like little touches of what else is going to come to part. And I'm excited. I think the season's going to be good.
Agreed. Annie, any final thoughts from you on Salt Lake?
No, I mean, I thought it was good. I feel like people, when I tell people to start with the Housewives, though, I start with Beverly Hills, but I don't know who told you the wrong shit.
I tell people that. I apologize.
I'm sorry.
I'm not a Beverly Hills girl, so...
I started my Housewives journey in January 2021. So I'm coming up on my 3-year anniversary this January. And I did exactly that because there was just Salt Lake had just finished and it was only 10 episodes. And I was like, okay, I'll start with this. I'll admit it was okay, but I was sort of like, this is what people are gagging over. It wasn't until I went to Potomac next and then Beverly Hills after that, and then New York after that, that it became very apparent to me why people love Housewives. Mm-hmm. Salt Lake was not bad in that first season. I'm not saying that, but it definitely didn't hit the same chord as like Potomac, Beverly Hills, New York. I will say, you know, we always talk about how much season two dragged on. I always say how I waited for the finale every week and it never came. And I feel like Mo and Zach are like, no, like it was great. I went back and looked, bitch. Season one, 11 episodes. Season two, 24 episodes. Season three, 16 episodes.
No, too much.
24 is way too much. 22 is the absolute max that you should have. I said this a couple weeks ago, 16, 18, that's healthy. I love that.
Yeah. Wow. 24. That is crazy.
24 episodes. That's why it felt so long. It was so long. It was just so much. So anyway, I think that we are in a new era of Salt Lake. I'm so, so excited for this season. I'm so excited for the newbie, Monica. I love Mary in a friend role. I think we're going to have an iconic season on our hands. You heard it here first. And I will eat those words in a few months if I'm wrong, like I did with Atlanta, like I did with Jersey.
It's okay.
Now, let's get into The Real Housewives of New York City.
Yeah. What do you think about this villa?
It's beautiful.
How's the season?
Beautiful, like really beautiful.
Yeah.
Tell us everything. Why didn't you come with us? Like, tell us everything that's going on.
We were just talking about you.
I'm sure.
Like, like we are all so
I'm
bad.
Sure.
Yeah, we're really annoyed you didn't fly with us. And I heard that you didn't want to fly with us because it was Coach.
Who told you that?
Erin.
Okay. No, you didn't. No, I said, that's not what I said.
Part of what sparked me wanting to go down there was, hey, feeling like I wanted to get a tan, but also I didn't want to fly Coach.
When I found out that we were flying Coach, I asked my assistant if she would look for another flight, and she said the only thing is Monday. And I have wanted to get a little sun because I'm going to be on the beach with all of you guys, and what you have that I don't is perfect skin.
I got a spray tan, Jenna.
Whatever. No, it's not what I'm talking about.
So did she.
That's not what I'm talking about. My genetic disorder, I have scars all over, and they get better when I get a little tan. So I wanted to go at Christmas time. I couldn't. My friend got a puppy. And then I was going to go right before we came. I was like, I'll go to Miami for a couple days and get some sun. And then I had my mouth done, and so I couldn't go. And so
I'm so confused. There's a puppy, there's Miami, and you got surgery, and then I'm so confused.
She's always surprised that everybody has a problem with it. Jenna never thinks she does anything wrong. All you have to do is just tell us the truth and we'll back off.
Just be straightforward.
If I looked like you, I wouldn't have come.
Don't use that. That's a cop out.
We all knew it was coming. We all thought it would come a little later. The Jenna Lyons takedown era is already upon us.
And I'm going to say something brave. I'm Team Jenna.
Me too.
I'm totally Team
I'm
Jenna.
I'm so Team Jenna. I don't actually... Is that a brave statement? Is anybody Team everybody else? I think they're being mean as fuck to her.
I think Mo is Team everybody else.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I've been very not paying attention to the group chat. Okay, well, Mo, fuck off. We're just going to keep dragging Mo through the rakes.
This is what happens when he doesn't show up to work.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I just don't understand. Like, the thing about Jenna, we've talked about it before. She is clearly still coming to terms with her identity, her sexuality. She's deeply insecure. It's really sad to watch. And I want her to be more confident and more secure. She's the only queer woman in a room full of straight women. She's navigating that. They're all
younger than
she
is.
Younger. And, you know, I don't agree with her that they're hotter, but I can see where she looks at them and feels that way because they're younger and they're more traditionally feminine. And I think that, you know, I feel awful that she felt the need to go down 2 days early on the cast trip. Where is it at again? Somewhere tropical.
How do you say Anguilla?
Anguilla.
Where is that? Is that the Caribbean?
Yes. I think I looked it up. I think it's by like St. Martin, like in the British Virgin Islands areas,
yeah,
maybe.
Okay.
Well, we can't afford it. We don't know.
I hate that she had to go down there early just to like get a tan and feel good about herself. And
even if she did use that as an excuse, I don't care. If I have her money, I ain't flying coach. Like, why, when you have that much money, would you ever fly coach?
And I don't know if you guys... so messy for that, too. Like, she was literally... Yeah. They cut back to the clip of it. And, like, maybe Jenna was being serious, but it came off to me as sort of a half-serious, half-joke statement. It wasn't the real reason. Yeah. It was just sort of like an extra little... You know, she's self-deprecating. She likes to make little jokes. She explained the real reason. And then she was like, plus, I don't want to fly coach. It was just like a joke. And yeah. then Aaron, like, takes it to all the girls. It just... Mm.
Yeah, it's hard almost watching Jenna, and like I think in the back of my head a comparison to like Julia on Miami, who's also the older lesbian, but she has an ally, like she has Adrian, and she's so comfortable and so sure of herself, and like it's hard because if you compare the two, they're very similar in that aspect. Like they both had great careers, like Julia was a famous model for so long, but they're totally different spectrums of like where they are in comfortability, and I just wish Jenna had almost either that confidence or at least someone like an Adriana that was like a ride or die that was there for her, because I feel like she'd feel a lot more comfortable in the space. But it's hard like to walk in and everyone's already like nitpicking everything you say. Like, oh, I just felt bad for her.
Yeah, but I think that all of this insecurity does really revolve around her genetic disorder and, you mm-hmm. know, her skin and everything more so than anything. Yes. And I think that, I mean, I can understand. I fully get that you wanted to have a little bit of a tan. I get that. I do think that she was just saying like, and as a bonus, now I get to fly business class.
Yeah.
I really did. I thought it was like kind of like campy shade. Like it was just cute and funny. Like it wasn't that big of a deal, but I feel like this is more coming from like Misery Loves Company. And they were all just kind of feeling like, if we have to ride coach, you should too, bitch.
And I think like, breaking the fourth wall, they know what they're supposed to be doing on Housewives. They know that a lot of people aren't happy about the reboot. They already are up. They're already on an uphill battle. And I think that they're trying to turn on the dramatics whenever they can to like try and deliver that Housewives sort of show that we want. And so it's not landing every time. And I think it's like, to break the fourth wall a little bit, we can kind of see it ourselves mm-hmm. that like this is not a real thing you're actually upset about, but you know you need to be upset for this show. And it just like, that's what's kind of hard for me to accept. And it just feels really mean to Jenna. Maddie, you just got me thinking though, this would be such a sexy couple if Jenna and Julia got together, because Jenna's girlfriend broke up with her.
Okay, but Julia, Martina,
well, she's a transphobe. But I know she's battling cancer, so I'm gonna be nice.
Okay.
But maybe Julia will divorce her one day once she's in remission.
Oh my god!
Because she's a transphobe, and I think she should divorce. I don't want Martina to get hurt, but I do want her to not be with Julia anymore. And I think
my god,
Julia and Jenna Lyons debuting their relationship on the stage at BravoCon next year would be so fucking hot. And Jenna is sort of like, Martina's the butch and Julia's very the lipstick lesbian. Let's be real, Jenna is the butch. Jenna is, I know Jenna puts that strap on.
I think Julia would be a little too kooky for Jenna. I think Jenna needs someone that's a little bit more reserved,
down to earth.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like Adriana DeMora being like in their wedding party? Like Jenna Lyons would not be okay with that.
No, I don't think it's happening, but I would like to see them meet at BravoCon. At least we need like a lesbian panel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like those two, Captain Sandy. I think that's it.
You guys are very much like, oh, I have a lesbian friend that you might like.
Yes. Yeah. That's lesbian. Very like
that's literally what I'm doing, but with my like Bravos, like they're like, yes. Sims to me. Yeah. Like, these are not real people. These are Sims.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, I'm like, let's put these two lesbians in a house and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say I am very much team Jenna, but I also feel like I can appreciate this like low key drama though, that you know, it's funny. It's kind of reminded me of when Kenya flew to that one vacation and everyone else took a Sprinter van, and then Drew called her out and said, oh, are you going on a private jet without us though? Like, it's like so petty, but you know, it happens. That's Real Housewives fighting for you. I mean, I do think it was, Brynn gagged her with that comment about the red carpet.
I thought that was funny.
It was hilarious. And also, I have to say, I mean, I obviously know Jenna Lyons, like I work in fashion. Other people that don't work in fashion know her too. I get that. But like, she's not that famous. She's not like a, you know, A-list.
Kardashian.
Yeah. It's not like, it's a little presumptuous to assume that everyone has studied your red carpet photos. Like she deserved that. Like a little bit.
That was funny. And it was funny when the entire table like couldn't continue the conversation because they were all just laughing at what Brynn just said. Yeah. I was like, okay, that was good. That was good. Yeah.
What do you think about the continued narrative they are spinning that everything Jenna does is for them to, she wants them to put it on their Instagram?
Ooh, I have a lot to say about that. Actually, I feel like Jenna wants to get her products out there and get some free advertising, but I feel like, they're actually taking it a step farther. She just wants her products on TV, and they are on TV. And Sai, the more you talk about them on TV and hold them up to the camera, you're giving her that free ad space. Like, joke's on you, bitch.
That's exactly it. Like, Sai is like, keeps bringing it up and keeps holding it up. And I'm like, you are the reason we are even talking about it, that it's even a storyline. Yeah. Because you can't let it go.
I'll do you one even better. Sai, I'm talking directly to you now. You said, I get paid for this shit. Well, guess what, Mimi? You're getting paid right now to be on this fucking TV show. So you are getting paid to open up your little gift bag and pull out the Majuri Jenna Lyons collection.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know what Majuri was until that moment. That's how dumb I am when it comes to
that. He literally held it up like to the camera and like gave it a little moment. It's so hilarious. It's completely backfiring. And yeah, I'm like, I don't think that anyone needs to post it on their Instagram. She's giving them these gifts on camera. So she already got what she needed. And if she's doing this as a branding opportunity, like good for her and mission accomplished.
I just don't get why you're going to complain about free shit.
We all know you're everything.
Aren't making that much money.
You complain about the free food enough. I would be surprised that you're not taking the free jewelry and the free skincare and all the other shit. I will say that, you know, there's a lot of, I hear a lot of people say, you know, Hollywood, LA in general is like toxic because no one is genuine. Everyone is just like, how can you help me? And this might be a really like morbid, pragmatic worldview that I have, but like, why is that not genuine? I think at the end of the day, like, we all can probably help each other in some way. And like, why is that inherently evil to like think that way? Like, it doesn't mean that you don't actually like the person, but I feel like in LA, right? If you're friends with the PR person, yeah, they're probably going to be able to give you a leg up with PR if you ever need it on something. Like, that's just sort of like the way the world works. So I guess I don't understand why they're getting so upset that Jenna is thinking strategically about this.
Yeah. At the same time, I mean, I guess I can see it like with, it's like your friendship is transactional. Like there's no real meaning behind it. You guys are just using it, like using each other for one step. But at the same time, like these girls, like let's call a spade a spade. These girls are not friends in real life anyway. So why not? Why can't it be transactional? Why can't you be helping each other until you form those closer bonds? But right now you guys aren't that good of friends. So why the fuck does it matter if she's giving you gifts? If this girl that is rich, has free stuff, is giving you gifts. Don't complain.
Yeah. And also I feel like Jenna brought a huge, huge bag of gifts for everyone. So, I mean, no one else was really giving out gifts that I could see, but she brought this huge bag. So she was being extremely generous. And so I feel like she gave you a lot of stuff that probably didn't like have any ulterior motive. And then she threw in a couple things on top of that that did. So what? So it's still a huge gift. So, you know, it's still genuine. I mean, I really, I love giving gifts. Like giving gifts is my love language. Receiving them is actually not so much because I hate opening gifts in front of people. I like to choose my own things. Like, but I love giving gifts. And I will totally admit that like part of it is totally for the attention. I love to watch someone open it, bring my big flower arrangement to a party. Oh my gosh, you're so creative. And I'm like, I know, but I also spent time and money doing it. And it was still a generous thing. And if I like a little bit of the attention for giving you this thoughtful gift as well,
I have to swoop in because you're not selfish at all for that, Annie. And I think that's like where we're getting it twisted. Like, it's not selfish to like your love language is that you get, like, you like, you love the feeling of giving someone something that is thoughtful and seeing the look on their face, seeing them appreciate you for being thoughtful. That's not selfish, but I can see how someone might turn that around to say it's selfish because it's serving you. At the end of the day, every human does things to serve themselves. Like, let's just be real. You watch the nature documentaries and you see the little birds on the hippopotamus and they're eating the fucking bacteria off its back. That's a transactional relationship. Maybe that bird and maybe that hippo genuinely like each other, but they're also like doing something for each other at the same time. And that's kind of how
It starts with nature.
It's literally nature. And that's what I'm saying. I feel like it's one thing if your relationship is so transactional that you literally hate each other and you're only in this relationship because you're doing something for each other. That I can see how that's fucked up. But if you are, if your relationship is transactional, but you genuinely do enjoy getting drinks with this person or going out with them, then why is that a bad thing? I don't think that a transactional relationship is in and of itself bad. I think we all are in transactional relationships, whether we want to believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I mean, and I also like same note, I really related to Aaron because I'm very much that bitch too, where like I come in and I'm like, I made you homemade soup and I brought a garnish. Do you like it? I hope you like it. I hope it makes you feel better. It's like you're doing it because you want to be helpful and make them feel good, but it also makes you feel good to like come and be that mother, you know, like it's like a two-tone thing, you know?
I went through a terrible breakup in my early 20s. I was super depressed and my mom gave me the greatest advice I've ever heard. She said, "Reed, when I'm hurting, I find that the best thing I can do is to do things for others." And I started pouring. That's when I signed up for Big Brothers Big Sisters and I started like volunteering and I was doing all these things and everyone around me was like, "Oh, you're so great for this." And it's like, it's not that I only did it to feel better about myself, but I guess what I'm trying to say is there is a selfish component of volunteering your time because you're like, it makes you walk away and you feel good. And like that, like that's what I needed in that moment in my life was to feel good. You know,
well, you could have gone off and murdered people because that made you feel good and you chose Big Brother. So, you know, I mean,
I would hope to God that wouldn't make me feel good because
it makes some people feel good though. It does make some people feel good.
Yeah. I think you're right about that. So, we've gone to nature documentary and all the other things that have put us on a tangent. Yeah. So Jenna Lyons takedown, don't support it. Don't like it. These ladies need to come up with a better storyline.
I'm excited to see them on a trip. Like I'm excited to see like, cause the Hamptons, I don't consider a trip. Like, especially when Jenna was able to like go retreat to her own place. Now that they're all stuck somewhere together, I'm excited to see like what drama unfolds. I believe we'll get the Uba fighting like this trip. So I'm just excited to see it.
Speaking of Uba, I really related to her at the top of this episode. As a model, shopping is hard.
I thought it was so funny because Mo has told us stories about Uba being in his store and needing, and like he's helped her a lot. And I think that hearing her say in her confessional that she goes right to the person at the store because she needs the help. I thought of Mo. I was like, that's what she did. Like, she's not.
That was a direct call out to Mo, and he should be credited.
She probably was thinking of Mo and Coulson. And I think that, you know, that also, that's what I love about Uba. I can tell that she is exactly who we're seeing. Mm-hmm. Like, she's very genuine. And like, she does. And I can see, like, as a model, like, yeah, you go into a store and you don't know where to start because you're used to just being.
But she's like, everything looks good on me. I'm like, okay, same.
Too many choices. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, Roni, still going strong, excited for this cast trip. Anything else, ladies, on Roni? All right. Let's dive. Speaking of cast trips, the ladies of Orange County are headed to Mexico. Let's get into the Real Housewives of Orange County.
I want to hear about everything we read about in the press, you selling your house.
Oh my God.
You didn't tell us anything.
No, I didn't. So sorry, but we had an NDA and it happened very quickly. But the hitch is they wanted us to be out in 3 weeks.
What?
3 weeks?
Oh my God. So I purged my house.
What?
We moved out on Tuesday.
I cannot believe that at your event, like, you didn't say anything to any of us. Like, that's a big move.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I I wasn't really sure how to discuss it. And I feel like in this group lately, I feel like if I say I'm excited about this, now I'm bragging, and I didn't feel like I could honestly share it. I feel bummed that you feel that way, honestly.
I care about Heather. We tell each other what's going on in our lives, and I really have been there for her. This actually makes me like question our friendship a little bit.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
But I think back to a month ago where you were saying, Shannon, you're just not sharing. And I don't know. Like,
we did not want this to get out in the press.
Yeah, but that's like saying then if you tell me that it could get out in the
press. You can't trust us.
I actually thought it wasn't going to come out and that we'd be on this trip. And I could share it with you, and I thought we'd all celebrate it together.
It's just,
I didn't actually think I'd be lambasted for it.
It would have been nice if we found out not from the press, too.
Other people are criticized for not sharing important things that you
consider
important.
I share lots of important things.
Okay.
If Roni is in their Jenna takedown era, OC is in their Heather takedown era. Like, can't catch a break with these ladies.
You really can't. And it's so funny because, like, Heather is, like, I feel like the icon of OC, like she's the richest. She's like, she's just above everyone else. And I feel like Jenna's the same way and Roni, where she's above everybody else. So it kind of makes sense that it's both happening at the exact same time. I mean, she just sold a $55 million house. Like she,
ka-ching.
She's way over these ladies' heads. And it's just funny.
Well, and you know, the old Heather would like make a party about that. You know what I mean? Like she would she likes to have these look how rich I am parties where she like, it's like, we're breaking ground on our new property, you know? And I think she learned from her past mistakes and was like, this will be a little bit too much. I don't want to celebrate it. And I don't even want to tell them. And because she had another thing that she was celebrating the same day. And I think she just knew that like, if I'm to celebrate two things at once, they're going to be sick of me and take me down. And like, I've never felt more bad for a rich person, I have to say.
Well, okay. Yeah. So I was going to say, I think she's incredibly snooty and snotty to this day. And it's so funny when I share that with y'all, cause y'all have said before, oh, Reed, if you think that now, then you would not be able to stand her on her initial seasons. Apparently that's where the term fancy pants came from. And she was even more stuck up than I can possibly imagine. I can see how they cut to a flashback of Emily telling her it comes across as bragging. Here's the thing. Whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, things just come out differently depending on who you are and how you're perceived.
Yeah.
So if Emily sold a $55 million house and was telling us about it, I don't think anyone would view it as bragging, because Emily sort of has this self-deprecation story arc going on, and it would be more of a, wow, something really great happened for once for Emily, like we should celebrate that. Whereas with Heather, I think just the nature of the way she talks, the way even her aura, it just comes off as I'm better than you. And so it doesn't matter how well she would have worded the announcement, I think no matter what, she would have been damned to being called arrogant for sharing. I just think that would have happened.
Well, but I mean, like, but she is better than everyone else. And that's the thing to remember here.
Like, so she's on the same cast. She's on the same cast as Gina Casita.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, but I think that, like, I think that it's just hard, because this is why I'm saying I feel a little bad for her, though it sounds crazy to say, because it's like, this is just what's going on in her life. It just so happens that a huge milestone in her life is selling a house for $55 million. That's what her life is. Like, they're just very successful. This is the things that she has to talk about. And there's not a lot else to talk about. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of good things happened for her. Like, and so, I mean, I know that's what I'm saying. I think you can see just her pulling back, because she's just like, yeah, I don't want to pile on the good things that are happening for me. And I think that was smart of her to not bring it up. But then it also sucks. I think it's not fair that, like, then because she was trying to, like I would in the past brag about it, I'm not even going to bring it up, trying to pull herself back and try to be more relatable and, like, not, you know, bring up her big success, then she still gets railed for it. I mean, I did think that was just unfair. It is a double-edged sword. And they're being like, you share too much and then you don't share enough. Like, she is in a situation right now where she literally can't win. And she's apologized to a lot of people. And I felt that they have been very genuine apologies. And I mean, yeah, I think that if they are trying to take her down, but like one thing that they're doing is they're piling on so much and being so mean to her that they're actually starting to make the viewers feel really bad. That's a mistake on their part.
I was going to say something about that. It's the same with any type of reality TV show. When the whole house, or like on Big Brother, when the whole house against them, or Survivor, when the entire tribe's against them, it makes you root for them. It's like that underdog feeling. Mm-hmm. Like you want to root for the person that no one else is rooting for. So them going all against Heather does not make us a part of that. It makes us want to root for Heather even more. And I'm like, you guys are losing in this battle.
Yeah. Like Emily at her meal. That was funny when she said, I think you should put your initials on more things. Like,
I thought that was funny.
But if it was just that, I would have like laughed and been on like Team Emily and then been done with it. But the fact that she kept digging in, kept saying mean things, like it was literally like bullying. I mean, like to have someone at this, like hosting this like wealthy lunch,
hammering
themselves, like to have all of that and have me feeling bad for the person that's hosting the wealthy lunch celebrating themselves, like you went too far. Like even Gina was like, you're being a
dick. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Listen, Gina has dealt with many a drunk customer at her late night shifts at Chili's when it's half price, when it's half price apps and bevs. Gina knows when to call it and to escort somebody.
You better stop.
The Chili's parking lot. I love how I'm like, don't even know the history of these jokes and I'm just diving in. Emily, like I love Emily so much. I have fallen in love with her from watching the season of OC. I think she's funny. I think she's cute. I don't know. It just makes me laugh. Her little thing with wanting a taco just cracks me up because that's me as fuck. And I was just sitting there in this scene watching them put caviar on a chip. And I was just thinking, Emily just wants taco. Like, that's what Emily wants. And they're feeding her this $55 million type of meal. And it's not, like, what she wants. And she's just hammered. Eating the cucumber the way she... Like, everything was just really funny to me with her being just wasted at that dinner.
Well, I mean, don't say it as if, like... that's so groundbreaking that she is relatable to you because she wants a taco. Reed, we all want a taco, but right, like, but you know, I just don't love her as much as you do.
She even said on Watch What Happens, she was on Watch What Happens Live after with Gina, and Andy was like, what did you think watching back? And she's like, I'm too embarrassed. Like, she won't watch back that part of it. Aww. She's too embarrassed how drunk she was. Shane, she said her husband has rewatched it multiple times.
You know, okay, she needs
multiple times.
Listen. She needs to take a page from Taylor Armstrong's book because I watched Watch What Happens Live on Tuesday night. And okay, talking about putting our Sims together, Sims that don't ever get to hang out together. Lisa Barlow and Taylor Armstrong, I never in a million years imagined that combo, but it works really well. You got your brunette, you got your blonde. They're both a little chaotic. They were really liking each other on that, by the way. I sometimes don't know if housewives will like each other. Like, they really seem to enjoy each other on that episode.
Yeah.
Watch What Happened. They did. And Andy asked Taylor, who looks amazing, I will say, in her fresh bob, Elvis's boyfriend, Mike, you're wrong. It looks amazing.
He's so wrong. The bob is so good.
I love calling him out on this podcast. Mike, you're wrong. The bob looks amazing. The bob. And Andy asked her, like, you were pretty wasted in that video that went viral like a week or two ago. And she's just like, apparently two olives and a martini doesn't count as dinner. And
she was just like, wait, who are you talking about? She's like, that's why I cut my hair. So they don't recognize me.
Yeah. So that is like, that's how Gina, do it like that. Just own it. Like, everyone gets wasted sometimes.
You mean Emily?
Emily.
Yeah. Sorry.
Emily. Yeah. Like, own it. Like, be like, yeah, I was a little tipsy. She was serving cucumbers for dinner. Like,
well, she's also owned it a lot in the past. Like, this is not the first time that we've seen Emily be drunk and make a fool of herself at a party. So, okay, I mean, maybe this time was a little too far.
What is like the lore of people referring to her as Hip and Hippita? Does she have a hip?
Oh, Hip and Casita. Because last year, their taglines, you know how like there's that candy tagline where in the middle she goes, oh.
Yeah.
And like Jen Aiden had one and said, whatever she said this past season. Emily had one where in the middle of her tagline, she says, new hip, because she got a hip replacement that year. So like everyone just calls her like Hip. And then Gina is Casita because she has like a little tiny small house. So it's always like Hip and Casita.
Okay, because they're, I know neither, I don't know, actually know if Annie's a Lana Del Rey fan. I know Maddie isn't, but Lana Del Rey has a song called Taco Truck. on her new album where she sings, "That's why they call me Lanita." And like people always make fun of Lana for being a wannabe Latina. And she called herself Lanita in that song. And so there was like a photo of Emily on Twitter once. And one of these Housewives accounts I follow that cracked me up was like, "That's why they call me Hippita." And I was like, what is this? Like, what does this mean? It's funny, but I don't get it. And then I saw one today. It was the video of Emily hammered at this fucking Heather's dinner. And the person's tweet was like, "Oh, I would have grabbed her by the hip and dragged her out of that." I just thought grabbed her by the hip. I just thought that was so funny.
That is funny.
I'm really enjoying this episode. Did feel like, I would say it was 60-40 filler good stuff. Would you guys agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think
it was pretty good, actually.
Okay. I feel like they've been bringing it the last few episodes with like fights and confrontations. Mm-hmm. And this one, it felt like, I don't really remember Jennifer Pedranti's scene much. Like, what happened there?
Well, it was awkward because
her mom was comparing.
It was so weird. And then I thought that we had talked about maybe helping Ryan pick out an outfit to meet her mom, but I guess they didn't.
The jacket.
I guess they didn't help Ryan, and he just was able to go off of his own choices. So that was unfortunate. But
him and Mary Cosby share the same closet.
Oh my God. So Andy asked Taylor on Tuesday, "Do you think Jen and Ryan will last?" And she like took a deep breath and goes, "I do." And that has got to be a lie, because this is we've seen enough Housewives to know when the writing's on the wall. Like, this is not going to end well. Like, he's going to cheat on her, right? Like,
no, that's gonna happen. It's not going to end well. And yeah, that scene was awkward with the mom. She brought in her mom to meet Ryan for the first time, which Tamara kind of called out. That's kind of weird that you've been dating this guy for a while and your mom's just now meeting him. Mm-hmm. And then the mom the entire time just kept comparing Ryan to the ex-husband. She was like, "You big shoes to fill." Like, I was so embarrassed. I'm like, this is so cringe. But to like echo on the fillery, I don't think it was that fillery, but I think a lot of times before a big trip, we kind of get a little bit more fillery, because like next week it's probably going to pop off. Cause mm-hmm. at the end of the trip, they're just now arriving in Mexico, and next week we get Vicky, and it seems like Vicky's going to be stirring the pot.
Thank God.
It's going to be good. Their place that they're staying in Mexico looks fabulous. Their rooms are unreal. They're two stories.
Yeah, but I'm so sick though of them going on these trips. And the same thing happened in Roni, I guess, where they're like, it's this gigantic mansion, but then there just so happens to only be like three rooms, so people have to bunk up. I'm like, that's so weird. Like, is that true? Or are you guys just doing that for, are you just saying there's only three rooms so that you can like make people have tension and have
production set up in a room? Yeah. Like,
Well, that's fair.
Now that I'm,
that's a good point.
Now that I'm into Below Deck, I was telling Maddie, I've seen little glimpses of people on the boat that you don't ever see. And I'm like, what, there's a second captain or whatever. There's an engineer. There's probably at least two cameramen. And then if you ever look,
that makes so much sense.
If you look away from the yacht, there's another boat always in the background. I think production has their own
boat.
Or
the droid and
or like security if something were to happen. I just feel like there's probably a second boat with the yacht at all times. Sorry to go off on a tangent on Below Deck, but I just feel like,
well, no, but that's a really good point that you bring up though, because now that you say that, it's never added up for me, these gigantic houses they stay in and they only have five rooms or whatever, and I'm like, this is a literal mansion and you guys have to bunk up, right? Like, but you're probably very right. I'm sure that some of the rooms are being taken up by production or whatever. So
if that's the case, why didn't Dorinda give production the shark, the
fish room?
Why didn't they get the fish room? So I don't know.
They were staying in Heather's garage.
Yeah. Literally. So before we move on to Atlanta, I want to ask you both a question. I was talking to Mo about this week. There have been a lot of really exciting and then some not as exciting newbies to Housewives in the last year across all the franchises. We were talking about it. You've got like Jacqueline was a friend of on Potomac. She was Mia's friend. Courtney, friend on Atlanta. And then you've got Danielle Cabral, Rachel Fuda, and Jen Fessler on New Jersey. We've got Jennifer Pedranti on OC, and now Monica Garcia on Salt Lake. I think we still have a newbie or two on Beverly Hills to come. I don't think Miami's given us anybody new, but I could be wrong. But based off what you've seen so far in the last like 12 months, who is like your standout newbie? And it could be a friend of or a full-time, I don't care, but who's like your standout?
I think Jen Fessler. I mean, I'm a Jersey girl. That's my favorite franchise of all time. So I was going to pick someone from Jersey, but Jen Fessler was just the comedic relief. Yes, yeah. She was the comedic relief that like we needed on the season that was very tense and a lot of drama. And I think she held her own being a newbie and a friend of a lot of times. Like I would say Courtney kind of fell on the back a lot, and then there'd be a group scene. You'd be like, oh yeah, she's there, which you never really had that with Jen Fessler. You were kind of hoping like, is Jen Fessler coming to this scene? Or like, what is she going to say here? So that's my pick, Jen Fessler.
Yeah, I would say any of the newbies on Jersey, they were all great additions, honestly. Like surprisingly good. Even Jen Fessler, who was a friend of, and I thought the full-time two wives that they added were great too. But I mean, I don't think that it's like super unusual to have this many newbies, like, because this is how it's always kind of been. I mean, it's actually pretty rare for them to keep the same exact cast like over and over.
Like Miami hasn't made any changes.
Yeah, they're always kind of, you know, filtering maybe one person out and adding a new person. It's not that crazy to me. But yeah, Jersey was a pretty big shakeup, and I think they did a really good job with all three of them.
I think those are totally. I mean, I'm gonna say Monica Garcia, but I know that
episode one.
I know, but I don't think that anybody else has excited me the way she has, except for Danielle Cabral, who then kind of nosedived. Jen Fessler to me is like fun, but I don't know. I've never gagged the way everybody else has. I guess my least favorite, I would probably. I don't actually want to get into that.
Say it.
Well, I don't know.
Say it.
I think probably Jacqueline and Courtney from Potomac in Atlanta, but I just feel bad.
Oh, yeah. I don't feel bad.
No. They're just not giving me anything, really. I think I'm really
like. They were very friend ofs. They were very just like a friend.
Yeah. I think all the Jersey women are solid. And they built on a
connection to someone on the cast, too, which felt very much like they were more brought on to talk about that person, like that cast.
I would actually. I would put Courtney at the bottom because Jacqueline gave us like her and Mia fighting
that moment. Like, yeah, that was good.
Really funny. And then I think all the Jersey girls like earned their way back for a second season. Mm-hmm. I hope Monica proves that to be the case. I'm thinking Jen Padranti on OC is doing great. I really like.
I think she was a really good add-in, and she seems OC from the get-go. We've had a lot of newbies on OC randomly, and they Noella being one come and go. Yeah. And I don't think she'll be coming and going. Like, I think she'll be here to stay. She just fits.
Yeah. And then I would say, if we're being really technical, all of the Roni women count as newbies. But if we get into that, if we add them to the mix, then it's really hard to pick anybody else because I am obsessing over several of them. Well, that is our recap of OC this week. We have one more. It is a Housewives filled week this week. We're going to get into a recap of the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion part one.
Taken me to court and said that I have not paid their bill, honey, or tried to sue me for stealing an idea. Hey, Johnny.
Me and Ty are gonna open up a restaurant. The concept was the same exact concept that I told them.
I'm prepared for a lawsuit.
Y'all know good damn well my restaurant is based on my aunt.
You talking about Drew's bill?
Old lady gang. Now, let's not talk about you not paying the guy with the fashions, and that's why them fashions ain't on that website.
I love it, honey. I love it. Let's talk about it.
No, this fashions were not on that site.
This is from Rowan, who has no skin in the game. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. So Rowan was helping. I paid Rowan. Paid him.
And she's saying.
Don't believe everything you read on the internet.
Those fashions on your runway. Half of them are not on your site.
So what? Why the bother with Sheba Sheree? Go buy them nasty ass floors in your restaurant. Go buy them nasty ass floors in your restaurant. That's what you worry about.
Nasty ass what?
Floors.
So I'm going to steal Mo's word since he's not here. It feels like these women know if the time is up for them. And so they're just, they know the season was shitty and they came just ready to like, just be messy. And they're all just fighting like Sheree and Candy, like just really entertaining.
It's entertaining for some parts, like Sheree and Candy. I was laugh out loud laughing because they are so serious in their fighting and they just sound so funny. Like it's camp. Like how much they're arguing and what they're arguing about. The one thing I will say that was a little overdone this reunion is the props. Like every once in a while, a prop is done well. The binder with Monique, situations like that. But like we had the what?
I'm giving back the bunny.
Oh, the bunny. Like there have been scenes or reunions where the receipts are good and the props are good. This one a little too much. I thought the She News was funny with all of Candy's bad reviews of her restaurant. I thought that was clever. But like Drew with the plum, Kenya with the receipts that were wrong, the receipts that were empty. Like it's just like, okay, we're doing a little too much. Let's bring it back a little bit.
Yeah. And Sheree, in fact, had three receipts. She had the bag. There was something inside of the bag. Then there was the news. It was far too much for my taste.
Sheree is always going to have a receipt because she is going to make a return and not pay a dime for the thing she purchased. Let's start there.
She needs to go through her own receipt.
She saves every receipt. I am sure of it. I thought the prop with Drew was way too much. The plum.
Oh my God. Was she trying to make nothing with the dog bone?
Yeah. So that's what I immediately thought of the dog bone. And I was like, girl, you got to quit bringing stuff. And like, you got enough going on in your life. Why are you worried about a plum? Is a plum supposed to be like a step down from a peach?
She was like, you'll never be a peach. And so she threw.
So here's a plum.
Yeah.
That's okay. Whatever. That whole thing. Drew has probably the most interesting storyline of the bunch, and it's still not saving her ass for me. Like, she's just not, I don't find Drew compelling at all. So even though something really compelling is happening to her right now, it's because it's happening to Drew. I just don't care. Like, I somewhat care, I guess. Like, I was really interested in, like, the Ralph stuff in the finale, but I don't know. It's just the whole thing is, I don't know. Is it a two-part reunion? They're not going to try.
It better be. I do not want to do.
I think it's two parts.
It's got to be two. It's a little bittersweet, like feeling like this might be the last time we're seeing these ladies, based off everything we've been hearing in the streets.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, I don't agree with all of that, but I do think that, you know, yeah, Ralph and Drew getting divorced. Wow, the least shocking divorce of all time. Like, you know, I just don't. It wasn't that explosive. I know he's going to come out later and I think that will probably be good. But Courtney choosing to hitch her star to Ralph's wagon. Ooh, weird choice.
Cousin,
bitch.
Didn't she say they became cousins fast and furiously?
Yeah. They're like less of cousins than Heather and Whitney.
I was going to say,
what are they doing?
South of the, you know, when you're in the South and you say something like that, I'm going to assume something way different than what
I was going to say. I was listening to a podcast. I was listening to two judgy girls and one of them said they kind of seem like kissing cousins. Like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they're hooking up on the side.
Yeah, I think if I were Courtney, I would start kind of backing up and being like, well, we're technically cousins, but like really we're not related and we just are friends and we just like to hang out because you know that what's coming next season is like they're engaged, you know?
It's going to be some Game of Thrones shit. And you say what's coming next season, mama, there ain't going to be a next season. I will say this though. I agree with you, Annie, that I don't agree because Annie, you said it perfectly when we talked about Roni. You disagree fundamentally with like the notion of the reboot, and I think that's like a great way to like word. I disagree with like a clean slate reboot. I do have some tea though, because as a gay man, the gays are connected. We're like a hive mind. I'm not gonna say names, but somebody I know who was on Watch What Happens Live not too long ago told his gay friend, who told us, that Andy Cohen told him after that episode of Watch What Happens Live that Atlanta is for sure getting a Miami style reboot. So all these rumors we've been hearing of like a Roni style reboot, I think that might have been either fake rumors or like Bravo was testing to see what our reaction would be. But weeks ago, Andy confirmed to someone I know
mother, and then their mother's son told their dog, and then their dog whispered to their cat, and then that's how we know.
Allegedly. But I believe it. I believe it. And so
what do you mean by Miami? Like,
well, Miami. So think about how Miami, when they came back after how many years of not being around, they kept three OGs.
Wasn't it most of the same people?
No, they kept three OGs. They kept Alexia, Lisa Hochstein, who wasn't an OG, but
Adrian
and Larsa Pippen. Adrian and Marisol are friend ofs. They got demoted. And then they brought
in. But still.
Hear me out, guys. Hear me out.
My people.
Hear me out. Full-time housewives. There are six full-time housewives on Miami. Three of them are from the original run. Three of them are brand spanking new. There are an additional three friend ofs. Two are from the original run. One is brand spanking new, Kiki. So you've got nine women total. Three are brand new full-time. One is brand new friend of. Three are old school and two are old school friend of. So it's a mix. It's a mix and it feels like it's the same Miami we saw before, but then it's got enough fresh to really, like, you've got Nicole, you've got Julia, you've got Gertie. So
that's what I want.
That's what I want too. And now Maddie loves to give me shit for how much I love my fantasy casting. I should like start like a website or something, but I want to do this real quick. What is like your Miami style reboot dream cast for Atlanta? And if you want a little creative juice, I'll go first. I'm going to try and.
So you're only naming three OGs and then two you're going to make friends of?
Exactly what Miami did.
But you don't know who the outsiders are going to be.
There's room for creativity.
Right. Yeah, there's room for creativity. Okay. So my three OGs that I think should stay or come back and be like your familiar faces. Portia, because she's got the youth. I'm purposely not including Candy because I think Candy would bring it down. Candy is too, I'm tired of seeing her in her plays and her restaurants.
Okay, I'm going to say Portia. Your opinions.
Portia. Kenya. I'm going to say... I wish Nene.
Don't say Nene. She's not coming back, bitch. You
okay, Portia. Portia, Kenya. And if Candy's not back and if Phaedra is tired of Married to Med, because I don't think Phaedra's going to be on Married to Med forever. I think it's like a one or two season thing. I think Phaedra comes back. So it's Phaedra, Portia, Kenya. Marlo and Sheree are your Marisol and Adriana.
Okay.
Because I don't need to see Sheree's family life anymore, but she's still messy as hell and funny. And kind of like a Marisol, the motherly figure. Mm-hmm. So you've got all those people on the one side. And then you got your newbies, which obviously I can't name because I don't know who they would be. But maybe it's just some younger people. Maybe it's like a hip hop star. Maybe it's maybe someone from Married to Med crosses over. I don't know. Just some fresh blood and like a friend of as well. That's fresh blood. So that's my like idea.
Okay.
There you go.
So my top three, this is so hard because it's hard. I'm going to do Phaedra because she's literally my favorite housewife of all time. I'd love her back as a housewife, Phaedra. I'm going to do Portia.
Yep.
And I think Kenya, those are going to be my three.
Okay.
And I think the friend ofs, I don't know if Candy would do a friend of if Phaedra was there, but in my world, she does. And Kim Zolciak. That's what I would like.
Right. I think Kim is an atomic bomb in the sense that I want Kim back, but what happened last time, she like did some borderline racist stuff, got called out for it, couldn't handle it. The internet hated her. She got booed off the stage, essentially. I just don't think that Kim Zolciak has the ability to allow herself to be on a
season. Well, if it's not Kim Z, then I would like Sheree.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Kim Z is one of those instances where the racism does not work. You know what I mean?
It doesn't work.
Like,
it doesn't.
Like, I mean, it never works. I'm just saying that, like,
I know what you mean. Point,
we give Ramona a pass sometimes because she's crazy, but like, you can't be on this cast and be racist. It's not cute. It's not fun. It's just like, there's no way. So I think that Portia, for sure, I want back on my screen. Candy and Kenya for me this whole season have kind of been playing this competition of like, who wants to be here less? I don't even know as much. I'm like, I go back and forth. Like Kenya really doesn't want to be here almost even more than Candy. So
at least Candy's brought in the reunion.
Yeah. And Candy just like physically isn't there a lot, but when she is there, she seems to participate and she's like willing to like try to be friends with these people. Kenya yep. literally is deleting someone off of her contact list and blocking someone every other week. And it's like, these are, we're supposed to believe that these are your friends and your castmates. Like, you can't be doing that. And so it's almost like she seems less willing to play than Candy. So I go back and forth about that, but Candy didn't give it this season. I have faith that she could bring it again though. So I would say Candy, Portia. I definitely want Marlo back as just a friend of, though I don't think she shines in a full-time role. I think Sheree should be a friend of. I don't know. I feel weird about saying to have not Kenya back, but I feel like she deserves to almost be punished a little bit for like
her. I kind of like Portia, that. Maybe I'll though, switch Kenya be... and Candy in mine.
Yeah.
So this is my opinion on Candy, though. I think I think Candy is the reason. Like, I think if you put Candy on this soft reboot, it will fail. Just like we feel like it's failing now. I think that it's not that Candy's doing anything specifically, but she represents something that we've moved on from. I feel like she.
Candy, I disagree. Really, I feel like
now I she's disagree. Like, new restaurant, new play, new.
But that's why I kind of put her as a friend of, because we don't need to see her home scenes as much, but we need to see her in group settings because she always does pop off. She will call people out. She's not a person that'll just be in her confessionals talking shit. She'll talk shit to all your faces. I think if
and
we
she's
lose,
a voice of reason. Sorry to interrupt. I just want to throw that in there. Go on.
And
go.
I think if we lose Candy, it'd be similar to like. If we lost Kyle in Beverly Hills, like there's no longer a standing OG because we've already lost Nene in that. Like we need a Candy or it's going to feel like a totally different show and we're not going to like rally around it as much. We don't need her as prominent, but I think having her there is like, okay, it's still Atlanta. It's not a Roni reboot.
I need Portia to have a friend or something. It needs to feel young.
Candy, yeah, when she does get into it, she does get loud and like stand up for herself, which I love. She does call people out, but there's also times where she will be the voice of reason and call other people out on other people's behalves. Like, that's what I love about her. And I feel like right now, what I'm missing in this reunion specifically is a voice of reason. It's like everyone's screaming, everyone's not making sense, you know, calling out people for their plastic surgery. It's like, I just don't care about
anything. Why is Manietta even there?
I don't know. Oh, but
decided
wait.
Decided to hire her. This.
I want to talk about my favorite part about the reunions is watching people watch the footage and then having them have to answer for their behavior that they lied about. So I don't know if we're going to get into this the next part, but we better. The whole thing with Marlo saying she didn't slam the door on Manietta. That I am interested in because that was just a bold-faced lie. And we all saw it on TV. And I want to talk about that because we never see Marlo ever have to just admit something. Like, oh, another thing I have to say, I was really upset that Marlo didn't apologize at all for Kenya's husband, like, claiming that she put her daughter in danger when Kenya or when Marlo like broke down the door. She wouldn't say, I'm sorry. She was like, I'm really sorry that Brooklyn was put in that position.
Like, and I'm sorry that Brooklyn came between our shit. It's like, no, that's not.
She was saying low key, like, I'm really sorry that you put your daughter in that position. Like,
yeah, she was almost blaming Kenya for even bringing Brooklyn.
Yeah, Kenya's serving her. That was funny as fuck. So
big
you got served at the reunion. Like, yeah, the Atlanta ladies, we don't know what the future holds, but we can have fun. We can do our little fantasy casting and we'll be back next week with more on that reunion. It's probably I'm hoping the last week that we will be talking about this season of Atlanta for the foreseeable future. Anything else, my wonderful co-hosts?
I think we said it all. Probably said too much.
It's been a long episode, guys. We've had to get through 4 housewife shows this week. We're going to have to probably do that again next week. And then I think we'll be a little bit more leveled out. But we have so much still coming. Potomac, Beverly Hills, Dubai, Miami, Ultimate Girls Trip. The fun never stops. Thank you guys so much for listening to us today. You know where to find us, about_Bravo, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. Follow us on all three. Support us on our Patreon. More bonus episodes coming to you very soon. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
Bye.